welcome to Distant Mirror. I'm your host, Alan Kelly. Music of the Middle Ages, Renaissance, and Baroque. And tonight we're going to begin with a mass by Alexander Agricola, a mass called the Missa Guazzabuglio. I'll explain what that means in just a moment. Paul Van Nevel leading the Huelgas Ensemble. We also will hear some harpsichord music by Johann Froberger with Gustav Leonhardt. A couple of medieval songs performed by Anna Asima, who you probably know also from Boston Camerata. We're going to begin now with the music of Agricola. He came from an affluent patrician family of Ghent. His father was named Heinrich Ackermann, and Alexander changed his name to Agricola because it was the fashion of composers, musicians at that time, to Latinize their names. And as I said, he was born in Ghent in 1446. From 1471 to 74, he was a member of the famous court chapel of the Duke of Milan, Galeazzo Sforza, where also Josquin des Prez and Johannes Martini and Loyced Compère were in residence. Agricola amassed a considerable reputation as singer and composer during his lifetime, and proof of Agricola's fame was reflected in the number of his publications and manuscripts spread throughout Europe. The first printer of polyphonic music, Ottaviano Petrucci, published a collection dedicated entirely to Agricola's masses in 1504. And together with Desprez, Agricola was one of the most quoted authors in the manuscript collections that Petrucci did publish. Agricola's creativity and mastery of contrapuntal writing appears in his secular and sacred music, and contrary to his colleagues who had also lived in Italy, Agricola did not allow himself to be influenced by that country's humanistic tendencies, which explains why the structural clarity in both text and form, a la Josquin, is rarely found in Agricola's work. His all-pervading rhythmic, melismatic inventiveness, his repetitious melodic structure, sometimes almost obsessive, a prominence given to sequences and imitation all characterize him as late Gothic composer. Now, he was regarded, as I say, in his day, on the same level with Josquin, but unlike his more famous contemporary, he had no school. Nobody followed his style. His music, though, is very distinctive. You can pick it out of a crowd real easy. You'll know it's Agricola's. Very difficult. Maybe that's why it's underplayed nowadays. Complicated, eccentric are sometimes words ascribed to it. And the Huelgas Ensemble, Paul Van Nevel, has been the champion of the lost cause, I guess, sort of the St. Jude of early music in a sense. He has taken what is considered difficult. He's an iconoclast. He goes against the grain. Something that's complicated, underplayed, he's going to go for it. And this is, in fact, the Missa Guazzabuglio is his term. There is no such mass, or Agricola never composed a mass and called it the Missa Guazzabuglio. It's what it is an arrangement, a single mass, but a sequence of movements from five of Agricola's other masses. They're all kind of quilted together, arranged together by Van Nevel to create what's known as the Guazzabuglio Mass. Now, I looked in the Italian dictionary, find out what this means, and it translates as muddle, confusion, mismatch. So there you have it, a performance of it now. The Huelgas Ensemble, Paul Van Nevel, and the Mass Missa Guazzabuglio of Alexander Agricola.
Thank you.
music of Alexander Agricola, his Missa Guazzabuglio, or Mishmash Mass, I guess, if you want to really translate it correctly. A collection of mass movements, for all from different masses of Agricola's, kind of sewed together there by Paul Van Nevel, who arranged that, and also directed the Huelgas Ensemble. Agricola's dates 1446 to 1506. And you're listening to Distant Mirror here on WWFM. Music next of Johann Jakob Froberger, whose dates are 1616 to 1667. And although many details in his life are unclear, and although it seems very likely that a considerable number of his works have been lost, we know for certain that his contemporaries regarded him as the most important German keyboard composer of the 17th century. This opinion even continued to enjoy widespread acceptance well into the 18th century. J.S. Bach, for example, came to know Froberger's work from manuscript scores, while the historian Adlung wrote in his Handbook of Musical Learning in 1758, "The late Bach of Leipzig always held Froberger in high esteem, although he is already considered somewhat old-fashioned," meaning Froberger. Other composers who evidently learned from Froberger included Handel and even Mozart. We're going to play some of his harpsichord music for you right now. This is his suite number 30 for solo harpsichord. Here is harpsichordist Gustav Leonhardt.
Thank you.
That was harpsichordist Gustav Leonhardt, music of Johann Jakob Froberger, 1616 to 1667, his harpsichord suite number 30, suite for solo harpsichord, to round out the hour, two songs from the 13th century by French soprano Anna Azima. And this is from a CD called The Unicorn, subtitled Myth and Miracle in Medieval France, 1200 to 1300. We're going to hear two selections, and both of them are attributed, which is unusual for that time, but these are. The first is called The Unicorn, which is, you might call, the title track of this, by Thibaut of Champagne, 1201 to 1253. And let me read the first verse of this. So, Thibaut was a trouvère, which is like a northern troubadour, and it goes something like this. In fact, it goes exactly like this. I am like the unicorn, which is troubled when it looks while contemplating a maiden. It derives so much joy from its torment that it falls swooning on her lap. Then it is killed by treachery. And I have been killed in the same way by love and by my lady. In truth, they have my heart, and I can in no way have it back. Ah, unrequited love songs, they always get me right here. The trouvère, of course, that was their stock in trade, as was the same with the troubadours. Always that courtly love theme. And she sings this very well. She's singing this man's part, the unicorn. And we're going to finish with a piece called I Was Riding the Other Day, it translates, by Monio of Paris, who was a contemporary of Thibaut's. In the first piece, Anna Azima is joined by Shira Kamen on viol. And in the second piece, she's joined by not Shira as well on viol, and also Charlene Fulton on harp. Two 13th century French medieval pieces. Here's soprano Anna Azima.
Thank you. cherche qu'elle aime. Chanson prie d'un coup, mon sexuel, en douce laine. Mon douceur, mon dieu, il y a un hôtel. Anni souhait qui a vilain de vie donner. J'aime mon mieux un peu de joie à démener. Que mille mains d'argent, moi, les filles pleurent. Marie, elle répond et s'en allait, Jésus vous bénit. Mon douce, mon libre, qu'elle est devenue mamie. Tout un homme commençait à raconter, comme c'est Marie là-bas pour bien amer. Je mourrais un peu de joie à l'aimer, que mille mains d'argent avaient les filles pleurer. Bien sire, ser grand bon même Marie de Marne tout le pire. Arrêtez l'être Marie, jamais de mourir sire. Trop belle et rire de trop parler, car je n'en verrai avec vous aller jouer. Je veux mieux un peu de joie à remener, que mille mares d'argent à voir et puis pleurer. Je crois bien qu'à moi, il y a de si tresse qu'un vincestre. Je l'ai pris tout son avoir par mon souder. Quand il m'a barré le danger pour la mer, je mouille bien un peu de joie à remener. Que mille mares d'argent avaient les pieds parés. Et si me renvoiserait moi sous la remède, et mon mari me dirait soir et matinée, dans le Paris et mes siestes, votre mari, si venait en moi jouer, j'aimerais bien un peu de joie à l'aimer, que mille mars d'argent à moi, et puis pleurer, j'aimerais bien un peu de joie à l'aimer, que mille mars d'argent à moi, et puis pleurer.
Oh, that's lovely. Two songs from the 13th century with Anna Azima, soprano. And she was joined by Shira Kamen on viol and Charlene Fulton on harp. We heard The Unicorn to begin with by Thibaut of Champagne. And we followed that up with I Was Riding the Other Day. That's Riding. That is by Monio of Paris, both 13th century French composers, both Trovaire.
And that does it for this week on Distant Mirror. I've been your host, Alan Kelly. Want to remind you that Distant Mirror and programs like Distant Mirror are made possible in part by a grant from the Frank and Lydia Bergen Foundation and by the support of you, our listener members. Until next week, Salus et Vita.